What I want to do is, because you said something that struck a chord, and that's the purpose of this dialogue that we're having, that is there something that I'm saying that resonates in your world? That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to resonate, like, how could... Because it is. It's like, it's black and white. I'm seeing something here. You're seeing complete opposite. I mean, and we just, in our dialogue, and it's like Earth 1 and Earth 2 here. Hello, listeners. We're back here at Breaking Bread, winding down from an amazing Valentine's Day weekend. And today we are here with a friend of the pod, Patty. Say hey to the listeners, Patty.
Hey there, guys. Happy end of Valentine's Day and President's Weekend.
And President's Weekend. Yeah. That's right. Absolutely. We were so fortunate to have Monday off so we could record today. Thoroughly enjoy the wineries this weekend. And now we're going to wrap it up with... some commentary and discussion on the day's politics. A lot going on there, certainly. It's been a while since we had a political discussion, Patty. I remember the last recording that we had done was just, you know, slightly after Trump won the election. And so we kind of just had a discussion about, you know, certainly I shared some feelings with the listeners about, you know, what I was concerned about with the new administration coming in and everything. So kind of want to come back to that aspect. I was really concerned, and I'm still concerned. I mean, there's a lot of concerns that I have of what's going on in the new administration and how they're rolling out their new policies. But my highest concern at that time was the immigration enforcement. My main concern right now is not that the immigration issue is not a concern. It certainly is. And we certainly want to keep an eye on that and see what direction that's going in. But I'm really concerned about the DOJ, the rule of law in this country, in this nation. Those are founding principles, the rule of law. And I can honestly say what I'm seeing is going on is just, it's breathtaking at the pace and the scope. And I believe at the end of the day that it's going to go all the way to the Supreme Court, some of these actions that the Trump administration is taking right now with this cleaning out the FBI service people who dedicated their lives, decades of their lives are being just ushered out and there's no process in place and the way it's going down. And I have friends in the FBI, so I've got, you know, inside information of what that's like over there. And it's really just, it's not right. It's not American. There's a process. I understand if there's bloat in the federal government, I understand that. But the way they're attacking the rule of law is just really, in my mind, is criminal. And I think when it's all said and done and it does get to the Supreme Court, because there's already judges on the lower courts that have already ruled in favor with restraining orders and trying to control the process of what's been going on. So I really want to cover that. And if the beginning of the demise of what I can see of the rule of law is pardoning every single blanket pardoning of every single January 6th person who was in jail and just let them open. Now I understand, and I've said this on previous podcasts, that you know, if there's somebody that was just swept up in a protest, got crazy and went inside, all right, they shouldn't have 2 years or whatever the injustice is. I get that. But to blanket pardon everybody, I don't agree with that. And I don't agree with, I think that the American people who are for the rule of law, which I think every U.S. citizen should be, it's our foundation of our democracy, and that they let, and I'll just call out too, I mean, the head of the Oath Keepers and the head of the Proud Boys, that was organized crime. There's no question about that. You just look at the facts, and those guys were just set free, just unbelievable. That just shows the carelessness and the lawlessness. And again, there is a process, and you know, the process is norms. You know, we're finding out as citizens, a lot of this stuff is not so much legally binding. There's a lot of norms that are being shattered. And so that's, you know, that's a high concern right now. I just don't agree with it. It doesn't feel right. It feels anti-American. It's an attack on our values. And then the next thing you start seeing, he's cleaning out inspector generals, just firing 17 inspector generals across all the agencies. Now, the process is, if you want to remove, I understand that the president, it's his cabinet and his administration, that he has that authority to do that. But there's a process in place. They have to go to Congress. They have to give them 30 days notice. They have to have a reason why. Everybody, if you get fired from a job, you deserve to know why you're getting fired. And the way that they're exiting these inspector generals is just, something feels really wrong and really shaky to me. The other thing, it's like cleaning out the DOJ, these high-ranking officials. And again, I understand if you've got to clean out, you know, maybe some folks are at the twilight of their careers and you want to bring fresh, new, you know, faces in there. I get that. But there is a process to do that. But the way they are going about doing it is just, it's hitting me in the pit of my stomach. I just don't think that that's right. And some of the particular areas that they're hollowing out of expertise, you have lifelong prosecutors that gave their life to study organized crime or, you know, looking at, you know, Bitcoin and all that. So they're organized in that fashion and they're taking away the brain trust of those specialties. You can just see it. And, you know, I think something is radically wrong going on there. I just see it. It's wrong. It's not right. It's not American. And it is the rule of law. And I just, you know, Bondi just last week, our new attorney general, she made a new policy. We're just not going to prosecute or we're not going after. We're not going to investigate crimes of foreign donation. I can't remember exactly what that law was, but it's based on foreign influence into our elections and into our officials, into our, you know, our elected officials. So they're just not going to look into that anymore. And I think in today's world, to not have a dedicated force within the FBI to investigate potential foreign adversaries giving money to some of our elected officials or, you know, campaigning officials, something's not right. That's a red light. I'm sorry. That is a red light going on there for me. Just Friday, 7 prosecutors from the Southern District of New York and the main prosecutor, she resigned. I mean, you don't have these lifelong prosecutors in the Department of Justice just resigning. It just doesn't happen. So, that is definitely another area that needs to be looked at. When prosecutors start resigning in protest because they're being asked by our new attorney general to stop that investigation, to shut it down. And that's what they did with the Eric Adams situation. They shut that down. And that was what 7 prosecutors just resigned just last Friday on. So I don't know. I feel very passionate about the rule of law. I've mentioned it in previous podcasts. I think it's the foundation of our civil society. And to have it picked away, it's just mind blowing. It's absolutely mind blowing. So I don't know. I just want to start there. I know we have a couple of topics we want to hit on, but they kind of go hand in hand in this case. But I wanted to kick it off with the Department of Justice, and I wanted to get your perspective as well, Patty, on all of that that I just kind of outlined, those situations that are happening right now in our government. And if you have any thoughts on that, I'd love to hear that, because something is not right, and it doesn't feel right at all.
Okay, well, first of all, having with this new administration, I think it's important to know that, you know, it was a mandate across the nation that everything that President Trump outlined that he was going to accomplish was highly supported. I mean, with the highest popular vote ever for Republican president, I think the country made a statement that things have got to change. And he has vowed that he will drain the swamp, so to speak, and was going to hit the ground running, which I think he learned from his first round entering office in 2016, that not getting these things done quickly enough and in a timely and efficient fashion ended up jeopardizing his popularity right out the gate. So I think he came in saying, okay, I'm not going to make that mistake twice, and we're going to hit the ground running, and I'm going to do what I promised this nation I would do, you know, hitting on it. And of course, everyone knows the first 100 days are probably the most critical start of a presidency. Well, he's got the luxury on the back end of not having to worry about another election. So he's got free rein within the confines of the law to do what he needs to do to be able to fulfill those promises that he made during the election campaign. Having said that, one of the greatest atrocities, in my opinion, that have taken place over the course of the Biden years is the raping of the Department of Justice. And so it was a number one priority for Trump because it was a number one priority for this country to get the crap that has happened over the last 4 years. Where do you want me to start? Russiagate, the Clintons. I mean, it's deep messes of everything they accused Trump of doing was kind of coincidentally exactly what the Democrats have been doing for years. So he came in with a mandate to clean this up. Now, at the top of the list is the DOJ. The DOJ had a lot of corruption, a lot of things that weren't getting done that have been able to fester for the last 4 years because of the oversight, because of you have very liberal justices in places like New York City, in the various federal districts that have proven themselves to be corrupt. How much time and energy do they spend trying to convict Trump? Meanwhile, we've got cartels taking over the country, all these other issues. Why wasn't the DOJ focused on what was going to protect this country during the 4 years versus having a spearhead on Trump's political career? They were singularly focused. They wanted to get rid of Trump. There was nothing in the world that was going to stop, that was going to allow Trump to be president of the United States. And they lost sight of the ball. They lost sight of what protects this country. You know.
So wait a minute. So let's just stop right there. So do you think that it was okay that a mob, an angry mob, agitated by at the time ending Trump to attack the Capitol, okay, kill police officers? Do you agree with that?
A police officer killed a.
I mean, this
a
is
vet.
The investigate. This is the investigation that we're having right here.
Where
that
was
you're saying,
that intensity? Where was that intensity? And the riots during COVID, the George Floyd riots, all these things taking place in Minneapolis and in Minnesota there and Wisconsin. Where was the Department of Justice when it came to cleaning up that crap and people burning down everything in the streets? Justice was run amok during those years.
I think those people were brutalized when the local governments and the National Guard was called out in the state of Minnesota to come in to stop that.
The National Guard could not come out. It was stopped by.
I don't want to go off track. I want to stay on January 6th. I want to stay on January. Do you agree with that behavior? That's illegal. It's against the law. They attacked the Congress. They were running for their lives, those people in there. And you think that the Department of Justice should have just turned a blind eye? We're not going to go after those people. I mean, I'm serious.
First of all,
that's the federal government.
No, I don't know who's gone to jail for anything that happened during the riots that were taking place all during COVID. You don't hear any outcry about that. You don't hear anything on the news. Oh my gosh, these people were put in prison for burning down Taco Bell. These people were put in prison for burning down, coming in front of people's houses with weapons and threatening their lives.
So that makes it okay to attack the Capitol. So, you do this, we're going to do that. And that's why we're in this situation.
The Capitol is owned by the citizens of the United States. If there is a gathering on the Capitol and people are peaceful, which was mostly the situation until a handful of got crazy. I had friends that were there, and they came this close to getting arrested just by being peaceful protesters. I mean, where was my point is the damage that was done, the offenses that took place at the Capitol were nominal compared to what's taken place during the 3-4 years before that. And nobody did a darn thing about putting those people under lock and key. But shoot, you get one guy that gets in a crazy uniform and goes sits in Nancy Pelosi's seat and says, ha, 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 snub your, you know, screw you. All of a sudden, he's got life prison. I'm sorry, that was unequal application of the law.
And I understand that. And when I said that, it's like, I understand if there was some injustices, okay, let's review the case. This was an innocent person. They got caught up, swept up in the moment or whatever.
And how
okay,
long ago was
they
that?
Did not. He did a blanket pardon. Everybody got
freed. How long ago was that?
What do you mean, how long ago was it?
That was 4 years ago, wasn't it? How long ago was that mess? My point is, 4 years of prison for doing something like that is extreme compared
to. And I'm saying he should come and pardon them. Then that, let's look at that. Okay, maybe you shouldn't have. Maybe you should get a misdemeanor. Or I don't know what the levels are, but if that was an injustice, I get that.
And
but
where he was gave the equal justice of law in their court cases? Where were they able to have the lawyers and the legal representation to be able to?
Are you saying that these people were not due process? Are you saying that these people were not given due process?
I don't have proof of it.
Okay. Well, let's talk facts here. I highly doubt that they weren't given their due process. These people. I've seen court cases. They were reviewing them.
You can't. First of all, by taking that many people and summarily arresting them and putting them behind bars.
It took them years to get to those people through Facebook and through all their different levels of investigation to identify who these people were. And they didn't even get everybody. I'm sure there's people that got escaped. They had masks on or whatever.
From what I understand and from what I've heard, people were put in prison for nothing. For nothing. Now, I have to dig up the facts, but I have friends that said, oh, my God, you wouldn't. I grew up in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area.
Sure.
And so I have there's a network of friends I have there that said it was I was there protesting that day. And people that were, you know, 20 feet away from them doing the same thing they were arrested. And they've got felonies on their records now for things for peaceful protesting. My point is, it was an unequal application of justice. And I think when Trump came in, you know, he could spend a lot of time and a lot of judges' times. I mean, since 4 years has passed, chances are 4 years was, if they've been sitting behind bars for 4 years, that probably met an average of, if not above and beyond, what anybody deserved for that. And so I think he went in there and said, okay, I got my priorities. I've got bigger fish to fry. I'm going to pardon these people because I can't guarantee that they were justly put behind bars for what they did. I don't think he had any confirmation or any assurance that what was done to them was fair. Because guess what? He was a victim of the same inequitable application of the law for the last 4 years. And so I mean, do you blame him? Do you blame him for saying, hey, I can't live by, you know, another 4 years in office while these people are sitting here when I can't reconcile the fact that they may have been put there justly.
Okay, so 2 points here that I'm hearing loud and clear. This is a residual from the Floyd situation.
It wasn't just Floyd. It was everything
okay,
else that was
taken. Well, we need to know that because
everything, all these riots and people feel justified in some righteous indignation about destroying other people's property that had absolutely nothing to do with anything, quite honestly. There's happened to be there. A livelihood of a manager in his franchise management business was destroyed summarily, and nobody went anywhere for it. Nothing. Nobody was put behind bars. So my point is, tit for tat. It's not a tit.
Exactly.
It's not a trade-off. It's a mentality.
Exactly. And I want to hear this.
It is a mentality.
How we got to this, because it's foreign to me.
I think Trump is coming in saying we've got to flush this mess out and get back on track, because the Biden years certainly did not prove evidence of having a fair legal system, especially from the top down. Now, you can argue in various districts across the country, you know, they're federally appointed judges, so the application of law could be different in different parts of the country, no doubt about that. But from the top, the DOJ level down, it needs to be cleaned up.
And in my mind, Patty, though, I do not like Attorney General Garland. I think from day one, he should have prosecuted what happened at the Capitol. He dragged his feet. It took Congress an investigation, and the public, when they started hearing the facts of what went down, to put that special prosecutor in place. I have to go back. I have to go back to, are we not supposed to, I mean, the rule of law is supposed to investigate potential crimes, okay? So just because you're a president of the United States, are you immune from being, you can't investigate President Trump. Oh my God. Oh my God. You're against the application of law.
No, I'm not against.
Okay. If Biden committed crimes, he should be investigated.
And how is
anybody? So why is it wrong to, we can't investigate our politicians, our president? It's wrong.
Clearly,
you can't do that.
We've been doing it for 4 years.
Yeah, but you guys are fighting against that. You just teed that up that, oh, they've been going after him, blah, blah, blah.
Well, let's look at relatively what he was investigated for. These crimes that he's been investigated for are nits in the grand scheme of things.
No,
they're not.
Unleashing an insurrection on the U.S. Capitol? Is that an incidental crime, potentially? Come on.
Listen.
He made friends with those organized criminals, those militias, the Proud Boys.
You know damn well, Pat,
that's not right.
Those low-level
Taco Bell manager, owner, that's an injustice. That's an injustice.
They're not low-level. They are not low-level. That is a U.S. citizen right there.
Okay.
And that U.S. citizen has as much right to having his property protected as the U.S. Capitol does. And for people to get all up in arms because, oh my God, it was the U.S. Capitol. Well, maybe the Capitol Police should have done their job a little better. Maybe Nancy Pelosi should have done her job a little better and brought on the National Guard when Trump was willing to dispatch 10,000 National Guard soldiers to do so.
Oh, it's Nancy Pelosi because she's running. She's in a bunker somewhere.
She admitted it.
I respectfully disagree that Nancy Pelosi...
Trump
did everything to circumvent that. There would be nobody charging it madly at the crime. Okay, let's go back to the rule of law here. Let's go back to the rule of law. Did he lose the 2020 election fair and square? No. Yes or no?
I can't say that. I cannot say that.
It goes back to the rule of law. Over 62 court. He exhausted every court avenue to prove that these ballots were missing or misappropriated or stolen.
If you're asking me by law, did he lose? Yes, by law, okay. He lost. Oh. But was he fairly elected? That's another discussion. That's another discussion.
What do you mean? Was he fairly?
If you were to dig down and discover where all the fraud, waste, and abuse took place in the election process itself without any effort to verify people's citizenships, for one thing, for their
Wait a minute. You have to stop
status.
Right there. I'm an illegal immigrant, the last thing I'm going to do, I'm in the dark zone. I'm hiding. I'm trying to make a living for my family, most immigrants. The last thing I want to do is go vote to like put a shine up. That doesn't make sense. That does not make sense to me. Illegal immigrants are not voting. Do you understand? They're not. They're so afraid.
Yeah, maybe the ones that crossed the border last year. But there are probably immigrants.
There's
in this
absolute.
Country.
Oh, you don't know many immigrants then.
How can I not know many immigrants? I live in California.
Exactly.
Of course I do.
Exactly.
But
they're
so
law-abiding people just trying to make a living for their families. The majority of them. Come on, give me that. There's bad apples in every group of people.
And you jumped to the illegal immigrant voting.
I know, but I didn't.
That's not where I was going.
Well,
I was going.
You got to go back to the rule
gotta
of law.
You've got to verify. If I go into a bar, well, not anymore, but back in the day, I had to prove that I was 21 years old. Why don't I have to prove who I am when I go to a voting booth? I mean, come on. It's just basic. That, you know what? That would, just having that in place, do you know how much more confidence the U.S. population would have in our voting process? It would be phenomenal. So by not having a process that demands proof of who you are, it just leads
all right, you know,
speculation
what?
And doubt.
Fair point.
Plants it in the seed. And so, and that's just the very basic level. And then you have polling stations that have miraculously fabricate all these ballots that came out of nowhere. I mean, it's been so long, I can't
tell
you.
It went to the courts. It went to 62 court cases, and he was shot down. There was no fraud proof. We got to go through evidence. That's what we have. That's what the foundation of the rule of law is. You have to have evidence. You can't just willy-nilly make these statements.
Judges. You, and you have to have unbiased.
Every administration has their time to put
regardless,
judges on the bench.
They have a responsibility.
I think this is an overreaction, and it's protecting him. Oh, Trump just goes and releases two new Bitcoins, him and Melania. All of a sudden, he's hollowing out the Department of Justice in the Bitcoin area with all the expertise there. Come on. Common sense. Yeah. He's hollowing out the expertise of the Department of Justice that focuses on those Bitcoins.
Well, I would say.
And then him and his buddies, and throw Musk in there, they just release their own little coins. So, okay, so nobody's going to investigate them now.
I mean,
that's what's going on. That we're going to have a white-collar crime spree that, like, no other.
Tyrene, he's focused on the priorities. He's focused on getting rid of the cartels and the influence in this country, getting rid of the illegal immigration by priority. You have to admit, he's focusing on the critical few right now with the resources he's got. He's getting rid of the criminals. He's not taking these families, families with.
You haven't watched the nerd. There's families being broken up. There's not illegal or people, rapists and murderers and all this.
According to the news watching, they're getting them.
They are. But in addition, there's innocents that are just looking to make a livelihood for their families, and they're being ripped apart. And I mean, really.
But. You can't deny they broke the law. Here's the fair application of the law.
Okay, but it's biased then.
It's biased.
I'm sorry, it's biased.
I mean, he's been in office.
It's biased. It's biased.
It's almost 60 days, and clearly and biased. Immigration is down 90%.
This is what you get when you have an elected felon, a U.S. president as a felon. Yes, he is. He's been by the courts. He has been prosecuted and appears amongst the peers.
That was done fairly. And no, it was a kangaroo court.
Once again, he's above the law.
He's not above the law.
We can't investigate
Find
presidents.
A crime
we
that can't. Anybody else went to
every
prison
time,
for that.
Every single time, whatever he's projecting out is what he's pulling. Oh, it's happening.
There's no question about it.
There's absolutely no question about that.
They charge Trump for all the things that the Democrats are doing and have been doing for the last 4 years. Everything that they accuse Trump of is, hold up the mirror. The Dems have done it. Biden's brought in illegal documents into his house. I mean, and Trump was totally.
Did he cooperate? Did he cooperate immediately? No, he did not. He had to go and get a court order, a judge-backed court order to go on the grounds of Mar-a-Lago and search. They had to get a search warrant. The department.
Anybody comes into my house, I don't care what you think. You better have a search warrant.
Exactly. So that's the rule of law. So
that's cooperating.
And Trump, he was not cooperating.
Totally cooperating.
Now you're going back against it. They did the proper. First of all, he had over a year. The Department of Archives.
He was legally authorized to have those documents in his house. He was the president of the United States.
Oh, yes. No, he was not. He was an ex-president. At the time, he was an ex-president.
He took them when he was president.
So all of a sudden.
Our documents just don't evaporate the day you walk out
so
of office.
So the Department of Archives is doing their job and their research. They noticed that those documents are missing.
That was a targeted effort. That was a target.
It went on for a year and a half. How could that be targeted? A targeting would be storming in there, getting the warrant, and going.
Have they ever done this to any other president?
Please, Mr. President, give those documents back. We need those documents back for the archives. Please get. And what did he do? He fired their archivist. Lifelong career professional civil servant. He fires her.
So
he's firing everybody who went after him.
No,
he's
not
fulfilling.
Either.
You said he's fulfilling
he's draining
fulfilling.
The swamp is what
he's
doing.
He's the swamp. He's the biggest swamp of them all.
No, he's not.
He is not
embedded in Washington, D.C., and that's why this country elected him, because he is not the swamp. He can see the swamp. The swamp is right there in front of him, and it needs to be drained. I grew up there. I'm telling you, it is a cesspool. You've got people that are so locked in to their comfort zone because they know they're part of a bureaucracy that cannot fire you. So meritocracy, it's not a meritocracy. It's a how long can I sit here until I can retire and pull in a federal pension? Now, not everybody's that way. I realize it.
There's some people, really good, upstanding civil servants. I know a few. I know
a bazillion of them.
Exactly.
And don't get me wrong. There is a section of them that is. It's a mentality. I'm just going to sit. We call it in the Army. We call it road. Retired on active duty. I mean, like when you have 3 years out the gate. He's offering what's called a voluntary separation incentive. It is for those.
It's not legal. He is not. It's not legal. It's not legal.
It's totally legal.
You can't. Congress appropriates funds. That's their job. That's their job. That's their job. Those were already legally appropriated by our U.S. Congress. And he is coming in there. Well, no, his hatchet man, Elon Musk, but we'll get to that. Is shutting off those payments. I don't know about you, but I don't feel comfortable with Elon Musk going into the Treasury.
Anything's got to go to Congress. These are all the initial steps in getting things started. It's got to go to Congress and get approved.
It's already been approved. It already was appropriated in the Congress. These funds are for salaries, or for whatever the distribution, public, you know, Department of Education.
How are you saying that voluntary separation incentive is not legal?
Because Congress has to make that law. They have to get the funds to pay these people off and give them their package.
Not
President Trump. Go back to Congress and say, look, we need to lay off or retire all these.
Oh, I'm sure there's a clause.
Okay, and so we need to appropriate these packages.
And they can do that.
They're not doing it. Elon Musk in there to go ahead
of President Trump's executive order, which will eventually.
This is going to the Supreme Court because we disagree. I don't agree with unlimited power for the executive branch. That's not our system of government.
Where was this argument for years ago when Biden stopped everything Trump had put into place summarily? I mean, which was the beginning of the destruction of this country, which is fortunately back under the reins of Trump again.
What I want to do is, because you said something that struck the chord, and that's the purpose of this dialogue that we're having. That is there something that I'm saying that resonates in your world? That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to resonate. Like, how could? Because it is. It's like it's black and white. I'm seeing something here. You're seeing complete opposite. I mean, we just in our dialogue, and it's like Earth One and Earth Two here. You know what I mean? So it's like we need to find stuff that resonates and understand. It can't be all one way. That's not how our system of government should work. We should get the best and the brightest ideas from both camps.
But I think what is very indicative of that in this country is the way the election went. We were way off the charts for 4 years. I mean, it started, and some would say that prior to Biden, we were way off the charts. So the beauty of it is the pendulum's coming back. And so where the pendulum is going right now is appeasing that majority of the country that elected this man. Who knows? The beauty of the system is if they don't like it in 4 years, pendulum can start swimming back. In reality, is it a 4-year pendulum? No, it's not a 4-year pendulum. It's probably more like an 8-year or 10-year pendulum.
It's a decade. It's a decade. It's a,
yeah. So I think what we're seeing here is the pendulum was too far in November. And the country made a point of saying, hey, you know, we can put up with a lot, but no mas. We're going to draw a line in the sand. The pendulum needs to start swinging the other way. And Trump just happened to be the guy, in spite of their efforts to stop him, who is bringing that pendulum back. And he's the kind of person, in my heart of hearts, I know you don't like him, but it's not a popularity contest. The man's actions, unfortunately, his words in court kind of set him back a few, you know, one step forward, five steps back every once in a while. But I think he's learned since the last election that he's got to monitor what comes out of his mouth. And he's got to be very judicious about it. But at the same time, he will be judged on his, he should be judged on his actions. It's not a popularity contest. And what he's doing right now is bullet point by bullet point going down what he promised the citizens of this country in that election. I firmly believe it. You know, we can argue his imperfections all day long, you know.
Yeah.
But that's not what he should be judged on. He should be judged on his actions and what he does.
I think hollowing out the Department of Justice and in specific areas, that's just not personality. You know, I get it. Trump's got his own personality, his style,
and we need somebody like that to be able to push up against even the rhinos who are, I mean, he has dissolved, all practically dissolved the rhino mentality, which has been a counter force.
Define a rhino.
Republicans.
Against Trump.
Yeah.
Never
essentially.
Trump. Never Trump Republicans.
Anyway.
Which I think is.
But they have been, a counter force against the efforts of the Republican Party to try to do what's right by this country. And I firmly believe that most of the Republicans are not perfect. Some got their personal agendas, but.
Most of them.
The effort is from a national perspective, not a personal perspective. And I think we all should be focused on the same thing.
So,
trying to bring this country back to stabilization.
Okay.
And I think he's the force that can do it.
So you're saying the ends justify the means?
Essentially.
Yeah, I think that's what you're saying. And I think it's illegal. And it's not
illegal.
It's going to go to the courts. It's illegal.
Well,
it is.
It will be proven to be illegal.
Ends justify the means. That's perfect. That's exactly what you're saying.
And I wouldn't.
So
I don't.
Let's put some billionaire inside the Department of Treasury and with five little
maybe that's what it takes
techies.
Right today.
Exactly.
Maybe that's what it takes. And
that's sad. That is sad. So
but Tyrene, the government, the function of people. It's not a perfect world. You got to be able to deal with a little crap. To get to the final, that's more than a little crap.
And
I disagree.
I mean, you've got line prosecutors resigning.
Maybe they need
that's
to.
Wrong.
Maybe
that's
they
wrong.
Need to.
I mean, it's wrong.
Why? It's called draining the swamp. You got to get rid of the old mentality so that you can build fresh and clean it up and get it right.
And all I'm saying is career civil servants are deserved due process. If you are, you or I, we work for corporate America. If we were fired, they will have to get their due process.
First of all, they're starting with the low hanging fruit. They're saying, hey, we're going to offer voluntary separation.
Congress's role is to appropriate those funds.
This is voluntary. They've got the funds. Trust me.
Believe me.
It's the net present value
Come on.
Of money.
They're pulling the same thing as in corporate. What do? They take you off the big projects. They put you in a corner. Oh, there's ways of isolating to force people to take packages. There's ways.
I know that. But they're starting with that there are people, like I said, retiring on active duty, who are sitting there just waiting for a package. You know that. That's where they're going first. Who would like a package and Let's free things up and
it's
and
not that it's that night and it's not that nicey well, and friendly from what I hear, and that's on the inside as well too. So it's not. I mean, these people have families. Half of these people probably voted for Trump, for God's sake. It's
I don't know about that.
But. Oh, you think the majority of U.S. government workers are Democrats? Is okay. Whoa. That's like conspiracy 101 there. I mean, that's like insane.
I didn't
especially say that. The FBI. Come on.
Irene, I did not say that.
Okay.
I said, I know this much. A lot of them around the Beltway are, because when I was growing up around the Beltway, it was the other way around. And now that place is a completely different vibe altogether. And it's an observation. I'll tell you right now, Virginia went from being a very red state to a completely blue state. And the majority of the population is up there around Washington. I'm just saying. So that part of the civil service, we could discuss that. There's a fair argument there. The rest of the country, I can't speak for. Federal employees across the rest of the nation.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I'm saying that which is concentrated in Washington,
yeah,
D.C.
Yeah, sure.
I mean...
I don't think they're all Democrats.
No.
I highly don't think, especially...
I didn't say they're all Democrats.
Okay.
I'm not making that comment. But to say that they're, you know, one way or the other, I don't think you can. I don't think you could say it with any, unless you have your statistics.
I'm going to know
those statistics. But I'm saying it's a lot different now than it was when I lived there, which was, I'll flat out say, D.C. or Northern Virginia used to be red, very red.
Okay. I hear you. All right. This was a long one. We had a lot to talk about. It was a great conversation. What I'd like to do is, again, going back to the principles of this podcast, we're just trying to get along. We're passionate about our positions, and we're just trying to make sense of it all, and we're going to do our homework. We're going to get more fact-based involved here. But we could take a break real quick here too, but I want you to consider one thing that I've said, whatever I've said that you
resonated.
Yeah. I could put us on a pause if you want to think about that, but you did strike a chord with me and I'd like to highlight that it goes back to, you know, prosecuting, you know, as we started out with the January 6th and him pardoning everybody blanketly. And like I said, I agree. Maybe people got caught up in the protests who shouldn't have been necessarily convicted. And, you know, their sentences may have been too long or what have you. I understand that. Okay. But not a blanket. I don't think everybody was innocent on that.
I agree. I mean,
people died. Police died. So, but anyway, what is good is what you said about going into the Black Lives Matters, the Floyd situation, the protests that went on with that. I hear some of that residual animosity, I don't know what you want to call it. So that led up to, well, you guys are doing this, so we're going to do that. I don't think two rights make a wrong. Again, I'm for the rule of law here. But I want to investigate that further. Were people, you know, just let go? I don't know the significance of it. I mean, I seen it on the news. It was an atrocity. I don't believe that officer. I think he should have gotten convicted. I think he did murder that guy who was just, you know, I mean, he was a drug addict or whatever he was doing on the street.
He stole
cigarettes or whatever. I'm just... You know, I don't think the man should have lost his life. And I'm grateful that there was citizens there that recorded it to like, hey, this is not right. This is not how we act.
Wait. Are we talking Floyd?
Yeah.
Okay.
The guy in Minneapolis,
okay,
right?
He had
a neck. He had his...
No. You're right.
Okay. Yeah. So, and then that spurred all those protests around the country. And then you were making a point about that. Like, nobody investigated that and who got sent to... Okay. That fair point. I want to do some more research on that. So you could see that that's where you're coming from. I mean, at least that was your argument here today. So, I mean, it's a valid point.
I could even roll it up to a higher level.
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
I mean, to your point.
I want to understand.
You are about equal application of the law.
Yes.
I agree with you. It's got to be equal. And it's got to be equal. But to get, I mean... If you want, this is what resonates with me. I think we both agree on fair justice here. But I think in order to get to the point of fair justice, there needs to be some cleaning up the, I hate to, it's hackneyed at this point, draining the swamp. But you know, there needs to be some, a purging system that cleans up dead weight, that which is not, you know, on the same sheet of music. Let's just put it that way. That is not supportive of fair application of law, regardless of politics, regardless of where you stand. I mean, it's got to happen because it's the foundation of what keeps this country knitted together.
Exactly. That's why I'm passionate. Like, okay, I do care about immigration. I have fears of concentration camps and, you know, all of that. But I'm like, I have to prioritize my concerns. And without the rule of law, we have nothing. We have no society here. I mean, totally I think we're both in agreement with that. I mean.
And I think the sources of information need to be similarly focused.
It's tough in this day and age. That's we can't agree on the facts. That's the problem.
Yeah.
We cannot agree on the facts. So on that note, I think that's a great positive note, actually. And what we should incorporate into future podcasts is we really need to get to the facts. So
come forward with a fact sheet.
Exactly.
And stick to the...
Exactly. So listeners, that's what we're going to do. We're going to try to interpret the facts out there. And we're going to not interpret. We're going to try to get to the bottom of the true facts. And then we're going to have a reasonable conversation about what should be done or what we think our government should be doing. I mean, really, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And I think that's a positive note to leave and put a pin in on this one. Patty, I love you dearly.
You
are awesome, man. You are awesome.
Back at you.
Thank you again. So listeners, really appreciate your time. And we'll be back soon at Breaking Bread in Napa.